issue, that if the state received more than 2%, the estimates for revenue, that the excess would be returned to the taxpayer. So this is good news as far as I was concerned.
And you had to return the excess?
Yes.
That's in the Constitution?
No, that was a statute.
It was a statute. Why isn't there some kind of a fund set up for, you know, emergencies that, or changes that...
Rainy day.
Rainy day fund, that something like this could be put in?
I always objected to that.
Did you?
Now, there's a difference. There, part of a budget includes a ending balance. And there was debates during the course of reducing the, our budgets, during the rebalancing of the budget, how much ending balance do you have? And that's just designed to at least absorb some changes that might take place. And so then you always have to guess how much should we put in there. And I was always pushing for the minimum. I wanted to use the tax dollars. I didn't want to overtax people. You see, if we had a very large ending balance, you're overtaxing people, in my mind, unnecessarily. And so they had to call a prudent man reserve. I guess you have to call it a person reserve now. But that was just a prudent reserve just in case. Now, when we had a downturn, we used it up. And then finally, we were getting to a point where we were going to go beyond it. We were going to have a deficit. And that's when I called a special session.
Right.
So that's what that thing was, the prudent person reserve. But in terms of, there's always this talk about a rainy day fund, which to me is locking up money that you don't need. You don't need to collect from the taxpayer. It doesn't do anybody any good. You just kind of put it there, and someday maybe you're going to need it. And I said, wait, when that time comes, we always can call a special session. We can always, you know, increase taxes if you feel inclined to do so. We can always cut budgets. We don't need that. Let's not just tuck away your money and my money to no good. So that was my personal philosophy in regard to, quote, rainy day funds.
You said at that point you would not oppose the closure of the 337-bed Corrections Division Relief Center south of Salem. That you wouldn't oppose the closure of this correction center south of Salem. But weren't you also trying to increase the number of prisons? Wasn't that a part of your
effort? Right about that. I'm trying to think of what this was, what we're talking about.
It was a Corrections Division Release Center south of Salem.
Well, maybe we could call a halfway house in effect. That may be. What was occurring is they'd be released from prison to this center, and then they'd go out. And I wouldn't oppose it. I just open the doors and go. Mm-hmm. Rather than this transition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, going on to the legislative session and some of the issues that were passed in the legislature, we've talked about the sales tax, and there was legislation that expanded a law against using children in pornographic material, and outlawed the possession of armor-piercing bullets. Where did you stand on that, and what was your feeling about it?
Well, in terms of pornography, that's a gross thing. That's terrible. Yeah. In terms of armor-piercing bullets, I don't know who needs those. Mm-hmm. Certainly, I mean, we don't need the military anymore. We don't need it.
Did you come out against that, or against the bullets, or?
That actively involved in the
right
person bullet thing. I'm just giving my opinion. I'm a life member of the NRA.
Right.
But there's some things that make sense. That is changes, and some that don't.
Was the NRA involved in that issue?
They may have been. They probably may have opposed. I don't remember. All I can do is tell you how I feel.
The legislature put a measure on the ballot asking voters to finance new prisons and jails. This is what we were just talking about, and you were supporting supporting that, but that didn't pass.
No. I think that was Jim Hill's bill that time. Two times it came initiated by me, and I think the third time by Jim, Representative Jim Hill.
Mm-hmm. From Salem.
Yeah.
And there was legislation which forbade carrying concealed switchblade knives and imposed potential jail terms for illegally obtaining or distributing cable television programs. Was this part of the whole satellite industry that was going on?
No, I think counterfeiting. I think that's what it was. Again, I don't remember that. It was not an issue of which I was, you know, there's a lot of issues that come up during the legislative session. You know, people say, how do you feel about this or that? And somebody's on else's idea. I'm ambivalent on this switch knife thing. You know, if it passed, fine. If it didn't, fine. I'm going to play one of those things.
There was a bill that permitted using television to obtain testimony from children. I presume that this was so that they wouldn't have to appear in a courtroom?
Yeah, and that's, I would certainly support.
And allowed courts to impose home confinement as a condition of probation.
Yes.
And also permitted courts to order education or counseling for parents of juvenile offenders.
That's always, I think, very important. A lot of the problem is the parents that really don't know and don't care.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then there was one that required gas stations, if they display prices, to show the lowest price for all grades of gasoline sold. And I didn't understand that at all.
I don't either. I told you early on that it always amazed me that the state of Oregon lives very well for a year and a half, and then the legislature comes and everything's wrong with the world. They close shop and go home, and we live peacefully for another year and a half.
And then there was a bill that required children younger than 16 to wear auto seat belts. Was that put before the people, or did it need to be?
No, that was a statute. It finally did come before the people, and they passed it.
And there was a bill that you supported that required auto emission inspections in the Medford area, which were the 12th worst CO problem in the country. It was fought by Jackson County, which wanted voluntary controls.
Yes, I understand that. And I remember that. It was one of those controversial things.
Mm-hmm.
But I supported it. Mm-hmm. It just made good sense. They do have a problem down there. It's the way that the hills are set up that creates a smog condition down in that area.
There's a stagnation in the pocket
and, you know,
there.
Volunteerism, I always approve of, you know, if we can get it done that way. But that's not something that can be done really that voluntarily. It's just one of those times where you say, I know I prefer to do it voluntarily, but it just isn't going to work voluntarily. You have to do it by statute.
There was another bill that forbade insurance companies from obtaining state driving records for more than 3 years, that were more than 3 years old.
I wouldn't support that. I think we ought to find out what kind of drivers people are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you recall if you vetoed that? Or
I don't recall that I was actively.
Yeah.
A lot of the things that I would, not, this would not be the case here. Where I'd see something that I definitely didn't like, I would send the word out that if you pass that, I'm going to veto it to warn people in advance. But there's a lot of times things would go through that I wasn't really paying that much attention to because I had other fish to fry, as the saying goes, and they'd come before me. And some people complained that I would veto bills without letting them know about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's another interesting point. I kept wanting to get a change. There was finally a change, but I had 20 days after a legislative session to deal with the bills. And if you understand a legislative session, they kind of putter around, and all of a sudden they dump a big load. And I've got to deal with that big load in 20 days, and I've got to study it all, and I've only got a limited amount of 20 days to deal with it. And I wanted to get it stretched out a little bit.
In a situation like that, do you have a number of people helping you go through that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, because uh-huh. There's bills, you know, we pay no attention to at all. And I have a lot of several people involved in just going through and studying the bills and seeing what they do. And I would get the bills with a memo of what it does.
Uh-huh.
And then I could make my decisions mm-hmm. based upon that. Because I just, you know, there's just some limited amount of time. I mean, just if you stayed up all night.
Yeah.
And you just have to work. It's tough. It's really tough.
Would these people helping you simply outline what was in the bill, or would they also make suggestions as to how you should, whether you should support
Sometimes
it or not?
Sometimes they would make a suggestion. Think you ought to veto it, or think about vetoing.
Mm-hmm.
Or they would make some editorial comment beyond just saying this is what the bill does. It wasn't criteria, wasn't particularly asking for it, just whatever help they could give me, I would appreciate it.
Right.
But I had to make the final decision.
There was a bill which banned using sulfite preservatives as additives into uncooked foods. Wasn't there some kind of...
There was a fatality.
Yeah. And so did this receive pretty widespread support then?
Oh, I'm not sure if widespread is the word. I think there was general acceptance. Mm-hmm. Probably a good idea.
There was another bill that allowed the state to regulate hazardous waste incinerators. Was the state not regulating them at this point?
Probably not in terms of incineration.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad idea. It's a matter of air pollution when you talk about regulation.
Right. And there was a statewide trauma care system which was established.
That was a little bit controversial because what it was saying is that everybody shouldn't have a trauma center. They're pretty expensive. It's a matter of control of hospital costs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have here in Portland. I think there's two trauma centers. We got a lot more than two hospitals.
Yeah.
But the whole idea was just controlling costs. Everybody doesn't have one. Doesn't have to have one of those things.
Oh, they don't?
Well,
so they didn't establish.
That was the theory.
Right.
That you don't really need, I don't know how many hospitals we have in the Portland area, but you don't need that many trauma centers.
Mm-hmm.
It also came up with the what's that machine where you lay down and they run you through?
MRI?
Yeah.
CAT scan or
CAT scan.
Magnetic resonance image?
Idea. This is all part of controlling hospital costs. That every hospital doesn't have to have one because they're
right.
expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever else. I mean, there was even some talk with which I didn't disagree. Matter of fact, I agree. You know, you might have a mobile one of these MRIs. Today, Good Samaritan would have it. Tomorrow, Providence would have it. The day after that.
Right.
And they'd all pay for it. And again, trying to control hospital costs. But each hospital in those days wanted their own
mm-hmm.
MRI or whatever else that expensive mm-hmm. equipment was. So that's the same thing with trauma centers. That was the beginning of it. They had to be finally made a determination of which one got it. This all happened after I left office. That was the beginning to say there's going to be only a certain number and we'll decide which hospitals will have them.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, hospital and them are competing. We want it instead of somebody else.
Mm-hmm. There was a bill that forbid smoking in jury rooms.
Yeah. I think that's what I heard these days. I guess that makes some sense. I can understand it. You know, I'm a smoker and I'm sensitive to the fact that a lot of people don't like the smell. It bothers you. It's just like, why I do this?
I'm okay.
With the window open.
With the window open. But the poor person has to listen to the No worries. But I'm fine. A bill passed which required farmers to provide field workers with adequate water for toilet facilities, washing and drinking. I presume this is for like the migrant workers that were coming up. And that was that a big issue in Washington County? I presume that it would have been.
Well, it would be. Yes, I think I mentioned it before. It never made sense to me that if a farmer's dependent on migrant workers, he would do everything that he could to attract the migrant worker to their place. And to do that, sanitary housing and sanitary facilities and clean, that would be quite an asset. At minimal cost, and so you'd have a leg up on the farmer that didn't. You'd get the migrant worker when they wouldn't. And so I could never understand why any farmer would fight such a thing.
There was a bill which restricted the employer's right to retain employees' disciplinary records.
You mean to keep them in their own files?
I presume so.
I don't know.
It seems like that would have been pretty controversial, but apparently it passed. And there was another one which adopted basic education guidelines for local school districts to use. Was this wasn't part of the testing that you had been pushing for, was it?
Matter of the basic. It was really a less definition than I wanted of what is basic education.
And another bill which imposed additional restrictions on new hydroelectric plants, including that they cannot result in a net loss of wild game, fish, or recreational opportunities.
That's a very important bill. That effectively eliminated hydro dams in the Northwest.
Really?
Yeah.
And did you oppose that then? Or veto it?
I didn't like it. No, I didn't veto it. Maybe I should have. I don't know. You see, it comes under the guise. I'm not sure what the agenda is for people that, they didn't want nuclear plants, now they don't want hydro plants. I don't know what their agenda really is. But when you talk about, they talk about fish habitat and survival of the fish, and that's not the agenda at all. The agenda, because this talks about the protection and enhancement of fish, basically. But that's not what it is at all. That bill effectively eliminated hydro dams in Oregon.
Because they couldn't prove there wouldn't be a net loss with fish ladders.
We're not talking about thousands of fish. We're talking about half a dozen fish.
There was a bill that would extend for at least 2 more years a law allowing mail voting in local elections.
That's good. I see that's good. We talked about that earlier. I don't know why people can't extend themselves for the right of being a free American just to go to the polls. But
it also ended the Election Day voter registration, which you supported.
That was very good.
Yeah. And were you most concerned at that point about the whole Rajneesh situation?
No, I think I talked about this once before, but what my real opposition to the last day of registering and voting was that people would get caught up on an issue or a candidate. And that's all that's what the trigger of going in the last day to register so I could vote today. And I'm saying to myself, they're doing it for a single reason, a candidate, or a ballot measure. And there are a lot more they're going to vote on, and they're ignorant about it. And so at least my way of thinking, I wanted them halfway knowledgeable when they go to the polls. And they're not triggered to go to the polls by a candidate or an issue, because they're going to be voting for city council or county commissioner or a whole bunch of ballot measures, and they don't know anything about them. All they know about is candidate Smith or ballot measure X.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's why I opposed it.
What about this other piece of legislation which forbid paying initiative petition circulators?
Yeah, I'm not offended by a paid circulator.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not offended by that. Some people are.
And there was another bill that made the county sheriff position a nonpartisan officer.
That's my idea. I don't really care whether it's partisan or not. We went through a traumatic event of home rule charters, and there was a lot of people that still today people are rather voting for county surveyors and county coroners, and mm-hmm. they want to vote for everybody. And there's really no need for people to vote for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But don't tell them that.
And there was a measure which was put on the ballot that would change the public utility commissioner from a one-person to a three-person appointed.
But you see, I don't get involved in things that are referred to the people. Uh-huh. The government, I should say, doesn't get involved.
So once it passes the legislature, you don't sign it or anything like that?
I can't sign. No, I'm not part of that process at all.
Uh-huh.
But I oppose it. There is an option member of the Public Utility Commission. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's any better than it was before.
And there was a measure which barred phone companies from disconnecting local service when that would endanger the customer's health.
Remember we talked about that when it came to turning off the water or heat?
Yeah, right. And also forbid the utilities to form from imposing a per-call measured service billing system. I know they've got that in some parts of the country where you pay something for each call you make.
Yeah, well, that to me actually made sense. It's not a status. But some people didn't like that. Put it another way, just for a moment. That in our phone bill, we are paying without a measured call system. I am paying and you're paying for somebody else's long distance calls. So when you have a measured call, the one that uses it pays for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you and I won't have to pay for it.
But isn't that also for local calls too?
No, there's no way of judging them. Well, I suppose there would be if you went to the machine again. The local calls, that's a little bit different. But if because you had to do certain rates and you had to guess how many people were going to make long distance calls, and then you have a budget mm-hmm. that deals with it. And there'll be some people who use a lot of long distance calls and some very few.
Right.
But in our base rate, it's just some part of somebody else's long distance phone call
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
it isn't all covered.
Mm-hmm.
So measured phone calls, meaning those that use it pay for it and those that don't. Pretty simple to me.
You vetoed one bill which dealt with comparable worth. It was meant to set aside $5 million to begin implementing this plan for women.
Yeah. This is so crazy. We actually instituted and had going a study on comparable worth and wages. We didn't need a law to do something we're already doing. These things are done for effect. You know, I got this thing through. Ergo booked me next time. And we were already doing what they said that we ought to do by statute. There's no need for a law.
Wasn't the state hoping to avoid a lawsuit charging discrimination was happening in Washington?
Well, yeah, Washington really got hit hard. That's what triggered the whole discussion. It's very hard to say what's comparable. It's very subjective. It's not scientific. What you're doing right now, we maybe it's a lot harder work than what I'm doing right now. And if I get more money than you do, that's wrong.
But two people doing the same.
So how do you figure out, you know, what you're doing right now?
Mm-hmm.
Is that as difficult as what I'm doing right now? And we're doing two entirely different things.
But aren't
how do you measure that?
Aren't they talking about people doing the same thing?
No. No, it would be a comparable. Not the same thing, that's easy. But we're saying that,
I thought it was dealing mostly with people that were doing comparable types of work, similar types of work.
No, it would be comparable in the sense that somebody, trying to come up with a good illustration, that is, that's the best way I can describe it. It would be two different things, two different kinds of jobs.
Well, after you,
simplify it. There's a fellows. There are fellows that are parking cars in the parking lot,
mm-hmm.
and there are fellows that work on the street with the jackhammer and digging holes. And so you're saying, should the parking lot attendant get more money than the person digging the hole? Maybe it was used more in a professional sense. Nurses versus doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Or certain category of nurses versus those categories. But you see, what you're saying is that you and I are both secretaries,
mm-hmm.
and therefore we both should get the same pay. That's not comparable. If you take one kind of job, like I said, the doctors versus nurse, or parking attendant versus the person who's digging the ditch.
Right.
And they're talking about, like, garbage men will get more money than psychiatrists.
Mm-hmm.
That's not fair. Well, that's a pretty good illustration. Now, that's a subjective thing. Who's worth more, the psychiatrist or the garbage man? You answer that one.
I guess it depends on what you...
Well, you see what I'm trying
yeah,
to say.
Yeah, right.
That's what comparable is study. It's more complex than just judging between the two of us who do the same job and doing it for a different company.
Well, after you vetoed this, then you came up with your own plan. And a committee of the legislature's e-board dismissed your request for $5 million. To upgrade the state salaries under the so-called comparable worth concept.
Yeah.
How is your plan different then?
Our plan was actually to study it, and the $5 million was to once we've got the study made, to compensate people. So, you study it, and mm-hmm. the $5 million was the pot to adjust the salaries.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the $5 million was for, not for the study.
I see. Uh-huh. Kitzhaber and Katz were critical of the plan because it didn't involve the legislature in the job classification process.
That's the fight between the legislative and executive branches.
They were also leery of your condition that the 24 unions representing state employees reach a single agreement before a new compensation program can be implemented.
Yeah, that's right. And that was my kind of cynical way of saying that they don't believe in comparable work, but they kept saying they did.
Huh.
And they don't.
How did those two issues tie together? Why did the 24 unions have to reach a single agreement?
Well, they couldn't. You see, the people talk about there ought to be comparable pay. You know, they talk about it. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to talk about it. But they didn't really believe it. They really didn't believe it. I found it very difficult sometimes to comprehend unions. And I'm not speaking about public unions because I was involved with it. When we were making reductions during our rebalance.